Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Rocket Mortgage. Confidence. Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Why can't clients get approved in minutes, not weeks? Or make adjustments to their rate and term in real time? Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans answered those questions and more. It gives you the confidence to buy a home or refinance your existing loan. Fully understand all the details and be confident you're getting the right mortgage for you. That's right. That's what Rocket Mortgage does. Whether you're looking to buy your first home or your 10th, with Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. What else do you need to know? And again, these guys support the show and are great sponsors. So, Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. To get started, just go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam.
Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states, NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030.
And we're breaking open the toolbox for some of the best classic rock of all time here, my friends. Phone lines are lit up like a Christmas tree. You want to hear something, go ahead and give me a call. Remember, at the lunch hour, giving away those Disney California Adventure passes. Right now, the band is sweet, and so is the music. Right here in the toolbox. Studios in Glendale, California. This is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Adam Ray, and a call from Mark Garagus. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a Kevin Spacey themed round of blah blah blog. And now, this morning he tried to set his clock back 50 years to when we weren't all chicks. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. Mandate, get it on. Thanks for tuning in and thanks for sharing. That's all we got is you and word of mouth, and we appreciate it. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
And Bald Brian.
Yep, this is happening.
Adam Ray in studio, one of our favorites.
Happy
Adam
early Hanukkah. Thank you, buddy.
He has got dates all over the place. Stand Up Live in Phoenix, November 8th. That is this Wednesday. And then also on Friday through Sunday. That's the 10th through the 12th at the Tempe Improv in Tempe.
Baby.
You can go to Adam's website, adamraycomedy.com. All right, so Garagus is going to call in about 10 and kind of catch us up on what's going on with Kaepernick and what's going on over there at the White House and all the good stuff. The guy knows.
He's the center of the universe right now.
Oh, yeah.
He knows everything.
He's involved with everything.
He's looks and cooks.
That's what I meant.
A lot of these guys, like, you know, there's names. It'd be an interesting list to put together one of these days. Like John Mayer, you go, God, what a douche. And then someone goes, oh, no, he's a really good guitar player.
Yeah.
Yeah, but all he does is bang supermodels and pose. And it's like, no, he's a really accomplished guitar player. We hate those guys.
Yeah.
Right? So I feel like you don't want Gloria Allred representing you with her miniature acorn-sized brain. She's fucking horrible. But Mark Garagus is the talking head who's on CNN, and then he's also kick-ass attorney who knows everything. He's
like
both.
The former athlete who's like Tony Romo, the guy who's an accomplished football player, but is actually really good in the booth.
Right.
It's like he's got the weight on both sides.
Yeah. You want somebody that's like a double, a double threat. That's got
he's a double threat. Yeah. Well, he's triple because he dances.
Wow.
Has he been on Dancing with the Stars? That's my gauge for a true dancer.
Oh my God.
Next.
There's nothing more delightful than when I talk to people who passed on it multiple times and I didn't. All right. It is horrible. All right. I want to,
interested.
So let me ask this. Oh, good. Going into Stallone talk. That was perfect.
Okay.
I was literally
that's
just going
not
right
interested.
Into Stallone. That's,
Carl Weathers.
They're
responding if you'd ever consider doing Dancing with the Stars.
Not interested.
Not interested. have my dignity. Now, listen, everybody, first off, Brian, you must laugh when people accuse me of trying to get publicity.
I just laughed just now.
Yes.
Yes, it's absurd.
I never try to get publicity.
Oh, they're trying to get publicity on your behalf. You know what I mean? For movies you're doing or
that's
for you know, dates we're doing.
That's
but, you
marketing.
Know, you yourself do not seek out publicity.
Right. And as far as the money goes on Dancing with the Stars, I have no idea what they paid. To this day, I don't know what they paid.
Yeah.
Although
I'm assuming it's not a lot.
I found out if I made it to the next level, I would have got another $100,000 or something.
Wow.
Which that then pissed me off later on. But I did it for one reason and one reason only. Somebody said, you want to do Dancing with the Stars? And I got scared. Like, I got scared immediately. I felt fear.
Yeah.
Fear. Like when you're in the ninth grade and says, Johnny Finnegan wants to meet you by the
parking lot.
Yeah. At the Pioneer Chicken parking lot after school.
Yeah.
You get that weird little tingle that comes over you. Like, should I puss out? Should I do it? Oh, Johnny Finnegan, how am I going to do? Like, you know that feeling we all have? That's the exact feeling I had.
Mine was Jesse Mose. It was the first kid in seventh grade that had fucked somebody, right?
Oh, wow.
And one of my boys was like, dude, I'm going to go sit with him at the lunch table today. You want to come? And I was like, dude, I'm going to be around greatness. Like, I know this. Like, I didn't even know that people could fuck at this age.
Legend.
Let alone a kid is at my own lunch table. But there is that. So you chased it because you felt scared. Is that why you're like, I should do it?
I was standing in a parking lot. I was standing, in a parking structure at our morning radio show. And my agent just called and asked me. As soon as he asked me, I had just a wave of fear pass over me that I have not felt in a long time. I've, you know, doing a lot of comedy, a lot of performing, racing cars and stuff like that. I didn't have this fear pass through me. And this fear passed through me, like, big time. Like,
what did
I can't
that feel
dance.
Like? What did...
I felt like Johnny Finnegan wanted to meet me out in the Pioneer Chicken parking lot after the seventh grade.
That's what it felt like.
Yeah. And so... Actually, there was a guy in my junior high named Johnny Dubin, and I always just thought, what a cool name.
Yeah, dude.
Johnny Dubin.
Was he a cool guy, or was it the name?
No, he wasn't. The name was cool, but anyone named KC was cool when I was in junior high, like in those years. Anyone named KC, that was a cool dude name back then. Everyone else was named Mark, you know, and he was KC.
Can we get a show together where we take all the cool name high school kids that didn't pan out and put them in a house? Like Jesse Mose for me, Johnny Dubin.
Where are they now?
I knew a Jess LaCasse.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one.
You know what I'm saying? Literally.
Jess LaCasse? Don't bury the lead.
He sells guns now. But
that's a sweet name.
Yeah,
no, they.
He's bald, but.
Well, the sadder part are the. the sadder
worst.
Parts are the chicks that peak in the sixth grade. Like, here's the thing. You must anoint, if your school goes to sixth grade, ours went to sixth grade, you have to anoint the hot chick in your school. She must be anointed. It's not a top five situation. There is the one person.
And it gets bestowed somehow, and then they wear the crown.
I don't.
Johnny Dubin has to be like, that's the chick, right? Like, you trust dudes.
It's a weird thing because we just all quietly agree.
Exactly. Do you remember who the girl was?
Yeah. Well, the thing that's.
I'm in my school, I mean.
Here's the crazy thing. Lori Kovacs was the hottest in our sixth grade, who is Brian Austin Green's stepsister.
Wow.
Yes. That's right.
It all makes sense.
Yeah, of course. Brian Austin Green was probably seven at the time and we had no idea who he was.
What
and
was the name?
Lori Kovacs.
That's a good name.
That's a good name.
Yeah. She was, it was understood. And then the king of the dudes was whoever was dating her. Like, whoever her boyfriend was de facto king of the dudes.
Right.
We didn't have to anoint a king of the dudes. Whoever Lori Kovacs'
who she chose.
Boyfriend was the king of the dudes.
Yeah.
Right.
Did we had Brooke Elkhart and Bergstrom.
Wow. Bub?
Well, his name was Brandon, but everybody called him Bub. And I remember one day in high school, he wore overalls with no shirt.
Oh.
And in my head, immediately, I was just like, douche, right? I just was like, douche alert. But then I was like, he's so cool.
Right.
That then you step back and go, maybe I wear overalls.
Yeah.
Maybe that's my next
move. The proof's in the pudding.
The proof's in the pudding, yeah.
We had a good hot girl name for our hot girl in sixth grade. Cynthia is a name that doesn't come up very often.
No.
Cynthia King.
Wow,
that sounds like a fake 80s movie.
It does. And the only, you know who the guy was?
Hmm.
Not Brian Bishop. Yeah,
of course it was.
The other Brian. You definitely have to trust the cool guy dudes, because when I was a fat kid in elementary school, there was the hot girl was Andy Bernhard. And like if I was like, that's who it is, and people would have been like, you just like her because her dad works at Albertsons and can probably get you snacks. You know what I'm saying? But the cool kid that calls her out, like Evan Hatch, was like, yeah, Andy Bernhard is like the girl. And then what I would do, this is how I found out I could do comedy. I had a crush on Annie because everybody did. And so I could impersonate her voice because my voice hadn't dropped yet. So I can like talk like this and like that. So, she had a crush on Evan. Evan was my best friend. So my friend and I would prank call Evan as Annie and like very like right. demonstrative shit. And nothing like, really crazy. Like, you know, sit next to me at the lunchroom and like, you know, put your fingers in me. You know, it was more like, you know, like you want to come over tomorrow? Like, what are you doing? And we just talk for hours. And he had no clue. And then I remember I told him at school one day, and I was like, hey, man, so how have things been going with Annie? And he was like, I don't know, man, it's pretty cool. We're just feeling it out. We've been talking a lot. And I was like, oh, yeah, you've been talking a lot. I started doing the voice. And, dude, the face that you guys are giving me right now is the face he gave me.
Just
like,
you crushed
why would you
soul.
Do that to me? Yeah, but he ended up marrying my best friend from high school.
Oh,
so.
Screw you.
Yeah.
We had two bucks.
Two bucks.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
a good
Kansas,
name.
Man.
That's
Buck.
A strong name. Buck.
Yep.
Buckley Boots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had a CC Feichens.
Excuse me? Wow. That sounds like a pretzel stand.
Yeah. And a Simona Hodak.
No way.
Both hot.
We had a super smoking hot girl that looked like Lauren Conrad with the last name Hoback.
Hoback.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Hoback.
We had a bitch ho.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Vietnamese.
Wow.
Bitch ho. B-E-T-C-H-H. Yeah. Betch. But. Come on, man. We're going to make that adjustment.
She's such a bitch.
It was great when you met like your first Eastern Indian.
Yeah.
Ayaz Sheikh. Like pomade, you know, horn rim glasses, like dressing like someone from the 50s, you know, like his idea of what America is like he got from watching My Three Sons, like reruns back in his town, you know, and, like just a crazy, carrying a briefcase.
Yeah.
I love that guy.
Yeah. We've talked about out of the mouths of babes. We were driving down our little downtown family, mom, dad in the front, me and my brother in the back. Brother's about, he's 6 years old, probably first grade, kindergarten, first grade.
Well, hold on 1 second. Adam needs to know that we're looking for the good put down that the hot chick gave to you in junior high or grade school or something. Brian had one. I had one. Everyone's had that one where you thought something good was going to happen. Yeah, because hot chicks don't know how to not insult you in their 30s and 40s. Forget about when they're 13.
Yeah.
They really don't know how to. They really don't have a governor, but sorry.
I apologize because I screwed this up. I literally meant out of the mouths of babes. Like my brother, a little kid, made an innocent comment.
Child.
But along the lines of seeing the first, you know, Eastern Indian, there was a recent immigrant, like a kid who only spoke like Chinese in his class, Chris Moy. And he saw him walking downtown. My brother, first kindergarten, first grade, says, Chris, what's he doing in America? He thought that he went back to Asia every night.
Every night.
Because he's 5 years older.
They don't.
All right.
What's he doing in America?
What do I?
Well, my hot girl insult was basically just going to a dance with a girl that was 2 years older than me. I was a sophomore. She was a senior. And all my buddies went with her friends. And we were all like, oh, man, the sophomores and going with the senior girls. And then we all kind of lived in the same neighborhood. And then that night, and we had like a great time, and then they all left, and I was like, okay, I guess I don't get to like touch a boob, whatever. I'll touch my own. And then I wake up the next morning, completely teepeed my house, the girls.
Wow.
Egged it.
Egged!
I had raked up all these leaves, cause just me and my mom at that time, and we had all these leaves, and my mom was just like, you gotta rake up leaves and learn how to be a man. I was like, your dad's not around, so you're fucking, that's a weird way to be
lucky
like,
enough
be a
to
man.
Live in a project with all the other latchkey kids. You had leaves and no dad.
Yeah, dude.
Your dad leaved and you had to rake it up.
Wow. Dad leaves, he's left
the
leaves.
That might be joke of the year. So I rake up all these leaves. That's like insult to injury. Egging and teeping is like something that you've heard about. You're like, oh yeah, you got egged. Yep. Like getting leaved, like they dumped out the bags of leaves all over the lawn. And that was to me like the most upsetting thing. A, I was like, oh, I guess the dance didn't go as well as I thought it did. And then my mom always remember like 7 a.m. She's like, you got to go clean up the eggs in the teepee. And I was like, fuck. She goes, and the leaves. And I was like, those bitches, you know? Oh God, you. You know,
was there a silver lining that at least they showed you the attention?
Well,
of
that's what my mom can said. Be the way yeah. you like. Yeah, like, yeah, but not the ex.
That's what, some way to show it.
I was like, if they like me, I would have touched the boob. It's also, let me at least see a boob, knowing that you're going
to
leave me
also,
later.
Also, I don't know, because I've lived next to a lot of guys whose gardeners had leaf blowers, and they've just blown all the shit over
do
to my
like
side.
You?
Like, hey, Pedro's got a crush on me. He's got it bad for the ace man, that Guatemalan guy in his mid-60s.
Message received, yeah. Pedro.
Let's see. Is that leaf blower? Is that a two-way street? It's got a suck setting. Hit reverse, Pedro. I'm coming down. All right. I want to know, you guys, I'm going to let you think about this. I'm going to see Stallone later on today.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Oh, nothing.
Yeah. Oh, nothing. I'm going to be on stage with Stallone. I realize the most frustrating thing about, it's not like, you know, you do a bunch of stuff you don't care about, but then you do something and you know Stallone would like the hammer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he likes boxing.
Sure.
He loves boxing. He's a boxing aficionado, but he's also insane for boxing. He loves boxing so much he punches his hand when he talks to you like an old-time thug. You
just
know
to
what
get
I mean?
The feeling.
Just literally. I talked to him about boxing for 2 hours. Like he would love the hammer.
Yeah.
I also know that just because he's made 31 movies about boxing, and just because my boxing movie was Sports Illustrated Sports Movie of the Year, and it's 80-something percent on Rotten Tomatoes, I still know he'll never see it. He'll never see it. It'll never happen. I don't know why, but he will never see it. Now, if there was a movie out there about something, you know, Paul Newman race cars, I would go seek it out. And I'm fine. Now, I also don't know why no one ever went to him like, hey, did you see this boxing movie? Yeah. It was good. You should check it out. You like boxing movies. I know he'll never see it.
Is there a way you can like somehow put a DVD of it into a case of a movie he would see? Like he's like, oh, I'm getting ready to watch Notting Hill for the fifth time today.
Right.
And then it's like, it's a hammer, you know? Like maybe.
Yeah. Well, that's a
but
good.
He doesn't realize it's 45 minutes in.
Yeah.
Now.
These are eerily similar.
You guys tell me. Now look, I could hand it to him. He's going to think it sucks and it's going to, might not make it to his car. If it makes it to his car, it won't make it out of his car.
I have an idea.
So I want you guys to all think about like what you would do. I'm going to be standing in his dressing room.
I have an idea.
Wow. We're going to be talking. We're going to be talking boxing. Yeah. And at some point, I'm going to go, hey, you should check out
Yeah, what's the moment?
My movie.
How do you transition from conversation?
I can hand it to him, but what's going to...
What's the line?
The end game?
It will be left in the dressing room when I come off stage and he's in his town car heading home. Hold on. Think about it. I want the best technique from everybody.
And you don't
want
to threaten, but like something like, watch this or I'll find you. I don't know if
think
that's
about
the,
it.
Yeah.
Wait,
just
on.
Think about it. First, I'll tell you about LegalZoom. Oh, Mark Garagus, he's going to be on the blower in a second. He loves LegalZoom. It's important, man. You need it if you're starting a business or you just want to get your affairs in order. When it comes to reviewing contracts, registering trademarks, staying current on fees and permits, LegalZoom, LegalZoom.com, man. They can help. Garagus will tell you, go to LegalZoom, just like I will tell you, if you can find it at IKEA, go get it. It'll cost much more for me to build it for you. LegalZoom is that. They have all the stuff. I mean, look, if you're Chris Brown, maybe not so much. But if you're starting a business, you go to LegalZoom. They've been around for 16 years. They've got the brightest minds in law and technology. They've helped more than 2 million business owners navigate the legal system with confidence. So never worry about the billable hours piling up anymore. Go to LegalZoom. They're not a law firm. You get answers to your business questions at fixed rates through LegalZoom's nationwide network of independent attorneys. It's LegalZoom. Dawson.
Take some pressure off yourself. Go to LegalZoom.com now to take care of your business before the year winds down. For special savings, be sure to enter Adam in the brief roll box at checkout. That's code Adam. For special savings, only at LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom.com.
And LegalZoom has brought you Mark Garagus online, too. Mark?
How are you?
Good, man.
I heard you talking about the evil billable hour and LegalZoom, and I'm always, as you know, why would you pay more when you could just go to LegalZoom?
Well, yep, Mark will tell you himself. So, Mark, where are we with Kaepernick?
Kaepernick, you know, is very interesting. Something could happen today. You know, I predicted about 6 days ago or so that he should be signed within 10 days. Actually, the guy who may be out of a job any minute, it sure seems like, is Roger Goodell, because It sure seems like Jerry Jones has whipped up a frenzy among 17 owners, and then I don't know if you saw Papa John's, the founder came out and started talking about basically kind of a first cousin of the fish starts to stink from the head. But he said the leadership at the top is not good. And so I'm starting to think that there is some kind of fracas or division at the NFL league office. So
Papa,
very interesting.
Papa John's, not a great pizza, but if you like the topping of Grecian formula, it is the only place in town you can get a Grecian, like they sprinkle olive oil, they drizzle olive oil. He'll do it with Grecian formula.
Yeah, you can get some on
the
side.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
Not a lot of places will do that. Little Caesars doesn't do that.
I may have to have a little talk with Stallone and Papa John today about, at some point, you got to let it go.
Dial it back.
You got to let a little gray around the temples just creep in.
You can still do the Grecian formula up top if that's what you want. I don't know. I've always thought some gray hair is better than no hair.
So,
Papa John is
Brian's taking a lot of hits today.
I know.
Papa John is that look of a guy who would blame a fart on a fat kid in an elevator. You know,
he does.
He'd be like, you did it. And the kid's like, oh, I just got in.
So he's saying that revenues are down or that pizza sales are down. You know, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, except who came? I think the guy, the CEO of Pizza Hut, came out almost immediately and started having some fun with it. In fact, did a little campaign.
DiGiorno's did too.
Did they really?
Yeah,
we're fine.
Yeah, it's the pizza
good
wars.
For DiGiorno's to jump in the mix. You know,
right.
So
look, the reason that it's so topical, at least today, is. And I just love the fact you get somebody like McNair, who's the owner of the Texans, who, by the way, made the much talked about comment of inmates running the prison.
Yeah.
And then you've got, obviously, you've got the perfect offense for somebody like Cap. They've signed somebody today who's playing rather unfortunately so far in the first quarter. Mm. And if that isn't Exhibit A in my collusion suit, I don't know what is.
I wonder if it'd be funny if McNair went with the same nickname, Air McNair, but he spelled it like Air to the fortune. To the fortune. Or ERR. But most guys that are NFL owners, their dad probably did in the stock market.
That's a power move, by the way.
Air McNair, yeah.
Speaking of McNair, I don't know, Garros, you may know more about this than me, but my hunch was that the Texans would have been a great place for Kaepernick to land.
Yes.
But I feel like
Deshaun Watson-esque.
Yeah, I feel like the temperature would have been a little too hot for that because, you know, it's for obvious reasons. I think they have to let Tom Savage fail, which he is going to do, and then maybe they bring in Kaepernick maybe within the next few days.
Somebody had said the same thing to me about Texas, and I said, you know, Houston to me is markedly different than Dallas. And given a post-Hardy world, coming off of a World Series win and a community that needs, you know, kind of some bucking up, so to speak, every time I go to Houston, I go down there once a year in May for a conference that I teach, and I'm always shocked. To me, it looks like a real melting pot and is not like Dallas when you go to Dallas. I mean, I think they're distinct. So I think he would be a good fit at Houston. Boy, you could take McNair and say, go from social pariah to NAACP Man of the Year in one fell swoop.
It would improve his standing amongst a certain...
Yeah.
The demographics that he may want to appeal to.
I heard he was not planning on taking a knee if picked up by a team. Is that true?
Probably a good idea.
Nobody has mentioned that yet, any of the teams that have been talked to or that his agent has reached out. It's very interesting. I mean, I think he got the talk going in terms of the social justice issues, and now there's a real conversation that needs to take place. And you know, the players are behind Cap almost uniformly for that conversation. And I think if the NFL did more than just give it lip service, I think that there's probably an exit strategy here. And you know, frankly, even if it's Jerry Jones inspired, there is something to be said about the leadership. I mean, why do you let this issue fester for a year or a year and a half? I mean, I can't imagine that if this thing were going on in your shop, Adam, or my shop, that we would let it just fester and get to the point where, you know, you've got all of this fracture and the fission and the fissures.
Well, I like, you should be like the plate tet. Tectonics. Plate tectonics. The fissures and the fractures.
Right. Hopefully you're going to build on that a little bit.
I shall. So
don't you think it's going to be an issue regardless? He's created such a buzz with that gesture that even if he doesn't kneel, like, it's still going to be a subject of conversation.
I think it'll be for a week. If he gets picked up by a team, everyone's going to want to know, does he kneel? Does he not kneel? If he does, it'll be business as usual. If he doesn't, it'll be a story, business as usual, whatever. Yeah. But the next week, it'll blow over, and then we'll get to the playoffs. And then at a certain point, it's all about what have you done for me lately. He's producing on the field, everything goes away.
Yeah.
So
people tend to forget just how divisive and polarizing Muhammad Ali was, you know, decades ago.
Right.
I mean, it was unbelievable to have lived through it, and then he became revered, and part of it was because, you know, Adam and I have talked about this Unreasonable Doubt all the time. The public has a very short attention span.
So you think Weinstein's going to go down in history that way, if I hear you right, Mark?
I'm so sure that Weinstein doesn't make a comeback of some kind. I mean, if Rose McGowan keeps going crazy, like this morning, and that's helpful to him.
What did she do this morning?
Oh my God! She was laying out Alec Baldwin for something that you almost have to be a 5150 to even understand or connect the dots. I mean, it was just shocking. I mean, in terms of how insane.
Rose McGowan is
quiet.
That was Baldwin when he called into the show to his daughter.
Yep. Quiet.
That's correct. Rose McGowan has always been pretty nutty, always.
Yes.
Which doesn't mean she wasn't a rape victim. It just means she could be both.
She surpassed outspoken into a little nutty, is
eccentric.
What you're saying.
When I knew her when she was 19, she was nutty.
Really? What was the line that everyone goes, all right, now she's when are you deemed officially nutty? Like, what do you have to say?
When you're on your 40th birthday, if you're a hot chick.
Yeah.
Before that, we put up with anything.
Yeah, in your 20s, you can get away with
it. Be as nutty as you like.
She's brash.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, you're in your 20s. But yeah, you hit that.
Once the crow's feet kick in, then we start judging.
Crap.
Yeah. So,
and why is that? That's such gender inequality.
It is.
Thank you, Mark.
I know, it's so sad.
Isn't it great?
So
why I don't trust Katie Couric anymore. You know
what's going on?
It's a crow's feet.
What's going on in the White House? What?
Okay,
what are your
today
thoughts?
Today is actually quite interesting. We've talked about this idea that Flynn was not in the announcement on Monday. And so the smart money was that he must be cooperating. But then they floated something today that says that they've got enough evidence on Flynn to indict him. Now, that talk about a joke, because clearly Flynn was working for the Turkish government and that front organization for the Turkish government. I mean, that's been widely reported. In fact, his lawyer, this guy Kellner, filed what's called a retroactive registration as a foreign agent for the Turkish government.
It's like
I don't know if that's the best legal strategy I would take, is because then it shows like, yeah, we should have done it, and now we're going to do it, and sorry, no harm, no foul. But I suspect he's the next guy to be a Papadopoulos. I just do not think that he's going to let his son go down and get indicted and be prosecuted. I think he's going to cooperate in trade for, kind of like a Bernie Madoff. You cut a deal for your family members to get a pass, and then you take the hit.
So, and is it right in saying that all they want to do is just keep flipping people publicly, just keep
flipping
knocking
up.
Them over? Right.
The federal mantra, the federal game plan, the Department of Justice, as long as I've been practicing for 35 years, is you do not go forward with a case unless you've got somebody who is flipped and is cooperating, and you've got either a wiretap or an undercover tape. Mm-hmm. That is, the case is never brought unless you've got one or both, and preferably both. In this case, you've got Papadopoulos, so anybody who reads between the lines in that agreement, when they say he's a proactive cooperator, that means he was wearing a wire. So Papadopoulos was wearing a wire, and now you've got Flynn, and the reason Flynn is important is, look, Manafort, for whatever you want to say, and his partner Gates, they were somebody who was in the campaign. Flynn was in the White House. So they're ratcheting it up at this point to try to flip somebody to get into the administration, somebody who was actually there January, February, March.
You know, the thing that I think we're all, the good news is we're all finding out how all this stuff works, and you see these people going, no, look, it's standard operating procedure for leaders of banana republics to show up with pillowcases filled with $20 bills and talk to Congress people, but that's fine. I mean, that's not what we're talking about.
Yeah.
That's not what they're
not
allowed to talk to
problem.
Lobbyists because they would like to get some mustard gas, and the Congress doesn't want them to have mustard gas,
so
they
hire uranium.
Look, like when you're selling your house, you use a realtor, don't you?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Same thing.
Okay. You don't sell the house yourself. You enlist somebody. Yeah. It's like that with mustard gas. But it's like, wow. This is how it works. Huh? Just guys just showing up trying to get these horrible dictators and these horrible oppressive regimes. They need their stuff and they want to sell it and they can't sell it. So they hire people to talk to.
It's pretty distasteful.
Yeah, it'd be nice if we just generally, if anything good comes of this whole thing, if we could just reconjigger that whole system where folks from nations that we hate who kick gay people off of buildings and throw ass in women's faces, we could get some of those folks not to change the minds of our of the people that represent us because they drop off sacks of money.
Right.
That would be nice.
Or at the very least, lean into it the other way and put their faces on bus stops and really go full realtor.
Milk cartons,
You know, it's an interesting thing because as everybody knows, Trump famously campaigned on draining the swamp, and the draining the swamp may just be that it exposes exactly, his investigation. Mind you, I've said that Adam and I have talked about this for almost 8 months, 9 months, that this is exactly what's happening to the Republicans right now with this special counsel, is exactly what I lived through in the 90s. In the water, the Whitewater investigation with Ken Starr and the independent counsel back then. And the same things that I was saying and complaining about, I'm hearing, you turn on Fox News, you hear Tucker Carlson talk about it, the exact identical things. You hear Hannity talking about it. So at a certain point, these people realize that, what's good for the goose is good for the gander. Get rid of both of these things. And it's a plague on both your houses.
A good note to go out on, Mark Gergis, a plague on both your houses. The book, Mistral, voiced by our own Mike Dawson. Mm. You can go to audible.com and check that out. And check out his website, Gergis.com. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, gang.
We'll see you in studio soon. All right. We got a game to play. We got blah, blah, blog. We got, let's see. I got a call up here. Alan, 52, Kansas City. Alan?
Great barbecue.
Get it on.
Yeah, man. What's going on? You want to discuss systemic racism.
Right. So you made this point that you don't think that we have systemic racism in America. And
well,
so
we don't. Systemic means we have policies, against system this race, a system of. We don't have policies in place. It doesn't mean people don't look at other people differently. But we don't have. Saying systemic racism is like saying denied access to birth control if you work for Hobby Lobby. It's like you can go get birth control. They're not going to provide. Just say what it is. That's what I'm saying. Like denied access doesn't mean anything.
Right.
And systemic doesn't mean anything. But you can say there's racism. Go ahead, Alan.
All right. So I agree with you in that regard, that there's still people who are, hey, I don't like this guy for whatever reason. But I think the thing that that's challenging is that everybody stereotypes everybody else. So, hey, we're grouping this person here. And part of the challenge is that all these different groups, there's so many members of those groups trying to do everything they can to perpetuate those stereotypes. So whether it's the redneck on, Friday night driving down in his pickup all jacked up with the Confederate flag on it, or, the Wiggers driving down with the music.
Okay. Yeah. And I wasn't driving. I was riding shotgun because I can't drink a beer and operate that kind of four-wheeler.
You're operating the deer light.
Yeah, but anyway, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, the point got across.
Point taken, yeah. Yeah, perpetuating, right?
And so then everybody's going like, say, well, hey, you're being racist. Well, you guys are perpetuating, you know, there's members of each group that's perpetuating those stereotypes and then saying, hey, well, you know, you're being racist, when really he's like, hey, you're perpetuating the stereotype. We're just calling it like we see it. Quit perpetuating the stereotypes and then, you know, and quit using that as saying, hey, that's racism. Well, it's really not racism. We're just calling it how we interpret it and what we see it. And you're doing everything you can to perpetuate it in one way or the other.
Great story.
Yeah. Alan, I appreciate it. Look, here's one thing I do know. You cannot tell people not to
be racist.
Be racist. Yeah. Thank you. End of show. Moving forward.
Good night.
Night.
Mahalo.
No, you can't tell people not to profile.
Yeah.
And this happened about 15 years ago in this country. It's like no profiling. There is maybe after 9/11 or something, but no profiling. It's like, look, we are profiling machines.
Yeah.
We never stop profiling. Before we eat something, before we take a bite of something, if someone goes on a taco run and we have a bite, you sniff. Like, you inhale. You want to know what's going on with this taco. When you're walking,
you come across a dog.
Anyone who walks their dog, my dog wants to play with all dogs, but all dogs do not want to play with my dog. And my dog is super rambunctious and super over the top and everything. And we have to make sure when they meet in the street, if that dog plays nice or that dog doesn't. And you see, by the way, the dog is moving, or the size of the dog, or whether
the owner.
Yeah. Now, you don't know, but you are certainly, when you see that person walking down the street, you go, okay,
size
here comes the dog.
What
kind of breed? You know what? All you do all day, every day, you do it on the road. You do it when you eat. You do it when you walk dog. You do all day, every day. His profile.
I was in Hawaii and I was trying to find weed and I saw a white dude with dreads and I was like, for sure, his name is probably weed. I was like, do you know where I can get some pot? And he was like, just follow your heart. I was like, what the fuck does that mean, man? We also would have accepted take this or go that way. But I saw him and I just was like, to your point, it's like you just size up. You have like a couple requirements of like, you know, what they look like, what they're wearing, what their swagger, like whether it's animal or person.
No shoes,
extra shuffling, pair of sandals.
You factor in the hirachis and him asking you if you want to buy pot.
Yeah, him making up.
Those are two factors.
Him making up his own Jack Johnson lyrics.
No, it is perfect because if you're on the beach and you're looking to score and you see the guy with the glasses that have the flip up prescription and the flip down whatever and he's got all the zinc on his nose,
keep walking. Probably
not going to be hanging with. That's not the guy you're going to go up to. All right. So we profile. So is there a way to get us to stop profiling? No, there's not. So the only thing there is to do is any group who's acting in any way that they don't want to be profiled for, you must roll back on whatever that activity is. That's all there is.
Yeah. Asking people to stop profiling is like, stop being people.
No, that's... I don't think you'd want... You wouldn't want anybody to stop profiling because... Think about every time you return home to your house. Every time you return to your house, it's like a little profile. It's a, are the lights on? Who's here? Who's in the driveway? Is the car in the driveway? Yeah. No car's in the driveway. I don't hear anything. Right. Who's home? Who could be home? Is this door locked? Unlocked? Yeah. Like, that's all you do is like a quick, you don't have a steno pad out, but your brain does this quick, what's going on inside this house? And basically, what I'm trying to avoid is turning the corner and have somebody standing there. So I want to know. Now, obviously, if the front door, if someone took a crowbar to the front door, you don't walk in. You've profiled your front door by looking down. All right. Anyway.
How much of the time do you think benefit of the doubt is given? Like when you assess a situation or a person and you can downgrade your level of maybe fear about what, or even like you drop a pizza and you're just like, I probably shouldn't eat that, but I'm going to size up. It looks like there's not
Adam's
a lot of shit.
Never said I probably shouldn't eat that.
Yeah.
No. But Papa John's pissed that you wouldn't eat that pizza.
Your profile is delicious.
I got extra Grecian formula on there.
But you know what I'm saying?
For me, like there's a weird thing. Like sometimes, we need to explain to everybody about that that gap. That it's the invisible. Everybody, here's the thing. If you took an ATM, this one was just made out of Luan, which is what they make the flats out of in the sitcoms and stuff like that.
Oh,
the walls, just a Luan and styrofoam fake ATM, and you set it up in the middle of an empty warehouse, and you had an actor stand at that ATM, and you just took random people in, and you said, simply stop. You're second in line, or you're first in line behind the guys at the ATM. Stop where you think it'd be appropriate. I believe 96% of Americans would land within 8 inches forward and backward, but there's that small percent who just come up behind. Like, they don't have that gap thing.
Spatial
to the
awareness.
People. Yeah, like when you walk down the sidewalk and they walk really close to you, and you start thinking about the stories of someone who was hit with a ball peen hammer in the subway just because.
Yeah.
And you start thinking, like, why don't you give me that gap? Yep. And then you start thinking of ways, like, you don't want to stop and turn around and go, excuse me, but you'll do a move where you'll pretend to feel for something, your keys or something, and pull off and let them get ahead of you
for 5 seconds
or whatever it is.
I was listening to a podcast, I can't remember which one, but there was this guy who was talking about, he's very big, like 6'6", and he's just a hulking dude with a beard and super, like, he's bare. He's gay, and he self-described as a very effeminate voice and sort
Hi,
of
Gary.
Yeah.
affectations and whatever.
Gay makes him scarier to me.
Well, that is not going to help
not
the point
a bottom,
of the story.
Oh, yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Not with that attitude.
So he says at night when he's walking and there's a woman in front of him who's clearly kind of freaked out because there's this big dude behind her.
He will
sort of, he will fake get on his phone and have a phone call that's very like, hey girl, to kind of put her at ease in front of him.
Whoa.
That's something.
I like that.
We all should try that. Maybe everyone should try that.
Yeah. All right. Paul Funyan. I don't know why I thought of that. Just a big dude who likes to have fun.
That's right.
Paul Funyan. He doesn't swing an axe, swings a cell phone. And he'll bedazzle the bejesus out of that tree of yours, but he's not cutting
he has
it down.
To. No, he loves
big
trees.
Blue ox.
He's got a big pink ox. All right. Got a pussy hat on it. All right. Let me tell you about Onnit, man. Paul Funyan would take these supplements.
Hell yeah, he would.
All right. Somebody's got to go as Paul Funyan next Halloween, right? The big sack of Funyans with the axe and the beanie and the boots on.
I've been looking for a new Halloween costume.
Hey, Tony Danza.
You know, every year, last year I went as Judith Light because nobody, I love the costumes that nobody thinks of.
Right,
you know
Judith
what I'm saying?
Light, right.
Next year I might go as, what's it, Papa John.
Yeah.
Nobody
it's also, look, Judith Light's confusing, Tony, because when you go as Judith Light and you go, why don't you just go full Judy? And they go, no, Judith Light. No, but give us the full Judy.
Yeah.
Judith.
Well, what's the difference
Judith
between
Light?
Full Judy and Judith Light?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Paul Funyan.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's going to be
Big boots, the pussy hat you said, the pink ox, which, you know, I can maybe get Jonathan from the show to play that, from Who's the Boss. He loved oxes.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just really thinking outside the box. You want that costume that makes people go, holy shit, you know, I can't believe Tony Danza did that. And I'm just looking for those Danza moments, oh my God, Danza did it, you know?
I think you say he loves oxen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jonathan loves oxen.
Yeah.
Which is actually a one-man show I'm putting on, if you guys can pitch the dates on that.
All right, let me tell you about Onnit. Yeah, you heard me talk about Onnit before. Amazing supplements like Alpha Brain, Buffalo Meat Warrior Bars, MCT Oil. Onnit CEO Aubrey Marcus, he did a Take a Knee. That's my subscription podcast, couple bucks a month. Talked to him about going from a college athlete to multi-million-dollar health brand connoisseur and CEO. Aubrey's experience with ayahuasca as well, which sounds so intriguing to me, but I'm still scared.
Me too.
They filmed the whole thing. You watch the entire podcast and behind the scenes, a little mini doc over at onnit.com. That's onnit.com. Let's listen to a little Aubrey here.
You know, I had an experience. It was about the 10th time where ayahuasca took me down this path where it was like, you know what? Not only you're going to die, it's that you never mattered. It's like, you're nothing. You're the gum on nothing's shoe. You're water borrowed from the ocean and the ocean forgot. You're completely worthless. And so I had to surrender. Like, even in my death, I had some idea like, well, I lived well. I'll leave a legacy. Some people will remember me. I was like, nah, bitch, you're nothing.
So you can check that out. While you're there, save 10% on your entire order. I had a little MCT oil this morning. I always take a little swig before I leave the house. Again, you can watch Take a Knee episode and watch it free over at onnit.com/Adam. onnit.com/Adam. Yes, Gina Gray.
I have a terrible idea.
Mm.
What if we did a...
you sound like Vegas.
Adam Carolla show ayahuasca retreat.
Jesus.
Oh, my God.
Because something tells me that Dawson would arise... as the shaman, as the leader. I think a lot of fun would be had.
Should we ask Garagos?
This is a terrible
idea. Should we ask Garagos first?
Yeah.
You don't want
Garagos to make sure we sign everything.
LegalZoom, baby.
What's going to happen?
Boy, that sounds like a dangerous, awesome idea.
You know, you're going to have these kind of conversations where, like, I know you know that I look at you, but you know that I don't, that I can never act on it.
Hold on
but
one second.
I know, like, I respect you so much, dude. Like, yeah. I respect you so much, but I know sometimes, like, it doesn't come across that way, you know, man? But I love you, dude. Look at me, dude. But, like, I know there's things, like, in our past, and it's, like, it's too much. It's whatever, and I know you want to say something, and I want to say something.
And hear it. You don't even need to say it. I see it.
I know what you're saying, dude. Like, you're going to get
and
one
Gene
of those.
And Gene will be like, Adam, I have a boyfriend.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a lot of vomiting and diarrhea.
And then you excuse yourself from the conversation to talk to yourself that stepped out of yourself, and you're trying to negotiate him not killing you.
I'll be right back. I got to go follow the snake. 5 minutes.
The snake just told me he's got some extra gummy worms.
All right. Should we play a little blah, blah, blog? Kevin Spacey edition?
Perfect.
It's time for Blah Blah Blog, the game where we match the celebrity with their retarded online rant. Let's play.
Dawson has a Kevin Spacey story?
Yeah, man. I knew he was gay 15, 16 years ago.
Nice. Really?
Yeah. I was at the Santa Barbara Bowl walking through the beer garden, and I turned
the place
around.
Was closed.
Yeah.
It was a Tuesday.
It was 1 a.m.
He just parties that hard.
That's right.
They're being chased by security.
Definitely after hours. No, I'm trying to navigate my way through the crowd, and all of a sudden I turn around, and I'm face to face with Kevin Spacey. And he gives me this kind of scared look because I recognize him. He sees I recognize him, and he's kind of like, oh, fuck.
I'm not supposed to be
here.
Don't
call me out.
Oh.
And I just look at him. I give him a point and go, looking good, pal. And I turn around.
Don't
and
call
go,
him out for being Kevin Spacey.
Yes,
not
for being
right.
Kevin
gay.
Spacey.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh. How did you figure the gay part out?
I walked out.
Oh, my God.
I walked back
one,
to my friends.
We got one tap open. Just one.
I walk back over to my friends, my God, and I say, I just bumped right into Kevin Spacey. And they're like, well, where is he? And I go, right over there. And as soon as I turn around to point at him, he's just staring right at me.
Oh, yeah.
From like 10 feet, just,
whoa.
Just deep into me.
Hungry
eyes. That guy's gay.
Turn the beer garden into the queer garden with Paul Funyan.
That's right.
Hey, it's a great costume. I'm still doing it.
Sorry, okay, Charlie. Give me credit, though, when you go to those parties.
I got you. Wow. That's,
so you knew he was gay by him looking at your ass?
Yes. No.
Into his deep eyes.
At the Santa Barbara
Bowl?
You can
just tell. Yeah.
It's like 45 seconds after our interaction, he's just standing there staring at me.
Was there anything in addition to the look? Like, did he lick his lips? Did he like...
No.
Did he gesture to get out of here?
It's those hungry eyes, man.
Wow. Spacey eyes?
Look, Dawson,
I said to my friends, I think he's gay.
We've spent a lot of time together on the road, drinking, things of that. Do you ever catch a glimpse of me looking at you a certain way?
No.
I want to know, because you may tell this story in some years on some other podcast.
You know, I knew Adam Carolla was gay.
We were in Amsterdam. I ordered Mai Tai. Carolla looked up from from his taco. And
I know, the way he was
looking at me longingly.
The way he was looking at me during my Kevin Spacey's gay story really made me think that he was jealous of Spacey's eyes.
Yeah.
A year from now, you know, I knew everyone on that cruise was gay. Yeah.
There's more and more of those stories.
Well, I didn't know you had scientific proof. There's a lot of hearsay, but I didn't know there was anything but just locked down.
How many of those stories, I'm so curious about, exist? Where it's like, I was at a Walmart getting some towels, and I look over Spacey staring at my dick. Like, how many small throwaway stories are there?
Tony Danza, you have one of those stories?
Well, look, it was 1992, and I had just gotten at a dinner with John Stockton. He was on his way to Barcelona for the Summer Olympics. Stockton, great dinner date. Like, that guy, just a great conversation.
Sure.
Knows a lot about 80s sitcoms.
Interesting.
So we're hanging out, and Spacey walks walks through, right? And he walks through the, it was a nicer Buca di Beppo. And, you know, the ones where they got like a car outside.
Yeah, the Grove.
Yeah. Like the Grove, yeah. And so Spacey walks through and, I was trying to wave over a waiter to be like, can we get some more family style ravioli? Cause I love the, and so,
you can just say ravioli. Yeah, it's all okay. Family.
Well, yeah, it's all family. It's all big
stuff.
Portions.
Giant meatballs. Yeah.
For sure. So, I said, can I get the family style and the big meatballs? I think Spacey just heard balls.
Oh, right.
And all of a sudden turns over and goes, did somebody say balls? And it's not a good Kevin Spacey impression, but the point is, he heard balls, looked at me, we started talking. Turns out he's a big John Stockton fan, but Stockton, you know, is known for his defense, so he was like, hey, you can't touch my balls, is what Stockton said to Spacey.
Wow, so everyone's got a story. Yeah. All right, should we do the blah, blah, blah?
Anyway, I'm selling the movie rights to that story if you guys want to buy them. So.
It is a Kevin Spacey edition of Blah, Blah, Blog. Bye-bye, Spacey. Goodbye. It's your turn to cry. That's why we've got to say goodbye.
What?
Is that a lyric?
Is it Rose McGowan?
Yeah.
Courtney Love or Lance Bass?
Oh, wow.
There's a Four Seasons song called Baby, Bye Bye Baby. Oh, you can try to find, but I don't know if it's worded exactly that way. But anyway.
There is a musical feel to that sentence, yeah?
Yeah. Like, misheard lyrics.
You'll find that Four Seasons song.
I just hung out with Courtney Love on Friday.
What?
Really?
I walked her to her car.
What?
It's a long story. I will tell the story, but you got to buckle
in. She look at you longingly?
Was it in a beer garden?
Well,
sort of. This is the grand opening of Eataly.
Oh, wow. Yeah, still too crowded. How was it?
Oh, the freaking market.
Awesome. Oh, God. I can't wait. It's a long story.
It's a new market.
Good, but we're on your table for tomorrow.
Make a note to tell me this story tomorrow.
I walked Courtney Love to her Uber.
Well,
good for you.
And the rest is history.
But you'll tell us the whole story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
You're a chivalrous dude.
Lance Bass.
Rose McGowan.
Oh, wait. Did Lance Bass, did they have a bye-bye? Did they sing
bye,
that?
Bye-bye, bye-bye.
Oh,
bye.
Yeah.
I mean, I have no idea.
Maybe that song was about Spacey.
So is that Lance Bass? Or
Courtney Love or Rose McGowan?
It's incoherent a little bit, feels.
True.
Yeah. Kind of.
Love adjacent.
Yeah.
She loved it, yeah.
I'm going to go Courtney Love.
Yeah, me too. That was my first instinct.
Mine too.
Oh, okay. It was definitely not Lance Bass. That is, he was put on there by a young person like Dylan who associated the Bye Bye with his famous Bye 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 song. It was not Lance
Bass.
Look at
you.
Oh, look at you.
Rose McGowan. I'll just go different.
Okay.
The blog belongs to Rose McGowan.
Damn it.
Gets a square.
Yeah.
Do we find that Four Seasons?
I think Courtney Love is on there because she was so out, like, she was in the forefront of the Harvey Weinstein
stuff. Well, years ago.
Okay.
We talked about that?
Yep.
All right. Brian's up 1-0. Dawson's looking for that song. Go ahead.
No, 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 no. You do not get to choose to hide under the rainbow. Kick rocks.
Oh. Wow.
Is it Wanda Sykes?
Damashek?
Portia de Rossi? Or Christina Applegate?
Or kick Tony rocks. Danza as Paul Funyan next Halloween?
Well, now, Wanda Sykes.
Yeah.
It's kind of a weird thing because I think she's gay, but nobody cares, right?
Yeah.
That's a good way to describe
it. Yeah, there you go.
Like, it's never been, no one's ever wanted to know. It's not, no, she never needed to be outed. We never needed any
wouldn't
confirmation or whatever.
Man. She's married.
She's married?
To a woman. But she's married.
Oh, okay.
So it's not.
But I mean, it's not, it's a little bit of a, it's like, it's a little slight. It's a slight. It's like you're in ninth grade, you're at a party, and two chicks go, you want to watch us make out? We go, no, we got cable. And we leave the room. Like, that's
exactly
that's,
like
it's
that.
Literally gut check time at that point. Okay. Like, if we're not,
not
because,
into it.
Yeah,
because she was previously married to a man.
Oh shit.
Right.
Who was the man?
His name was
Mr.
Kevin Spacey.
Dave Hall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So, Kick
it.
Rocks. I don't know. Portia de Rossi, does she talk?
Well, she might feel empowered because of her marriage to Ellen.
Mm-hmm.
You hide under the rainbow means you don't get to. Because Spacey like came out, with I'm gay thing.
Yeah,
and then
trying to sort of misdirect everybody's.
Mm-hmm. Portia does seem like the one out of these three that would be the, like, that was a lot of no's. Like, very, like, really making a strong stance.
I'm going Christina Applegate just because I don't know what she's doing on this list, but I've been burned many times.
I can hear these words coming out of Wanda Sykes, so I'll say Wanda Sykes.
I'm also saying Wanda Sykes.
All right, so, Adam?
Boy, I mean, I'm going to follow my heart like the weed guy in Hawaii and say Portia, but I think I'm gonna go with the Ace Man and go Applegate. Double down on that.
The blog belongs to Wanda Sykes.
Ah,
Jesus.
Too obvious. Should have known.
Yeah.
You got the Four Seasons song? Tell me if they quote this song.
If you hate me after what I say.
What harmonies.
Can't put it off any longer.
Could have been written yesterday. Timeless.
Timeless.
I just gotta tell you, anyway.
This was in the movie Love Actually, and they credited it to Bay City Rollers.
Oh, they did?
Oh, it was a cover. And they made
did
a
they
cover
copy the lyrics in that blog?
What were the original lyrics on that blog?
Gary will work on it.
This also was in Air Bud 15 when they kicked the dog out for using steroids in the soccer game.
She recovered from an injury.
It's the same lyrics. I want some sort of award. It's the only thing I'm good at.
You're very good at that.
Here we go.
Kevin Spacey has just invented something that never existed before. A bad time to come out.
Ooh,
is it Billy Eichner, Arsenio Hall, or Ellen DeGeneres?
Well, Ellen's getting ready for her 15 days of giveaways. So I don't think she wants to get in the controversy game right now. I'm going to go with Eichner.
Okay, so I'm dumb. Who is Billy Eichner?
I don't know.
Billy
who
on the street, street.
Who is Billy Eichner?
Okay, so he has a show called Billy on the Street, which is like a game show. It's super funny.
Game
and
show,
he also,
man on the street, interview.
Hulu, he has a show called Difficult People. They does with Julie Klausner. He's very funny.
There's a lot of people trying to be in this business.
This is hard because you don't watch TV, but he, in Parks and Rec, he was in the later seasons. And
this
played
makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's great. Funny.
Everyone knows who he is. He's everywhere.
He's
American Horror Story, I'm told.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to go with him.
I wanted to go with him, but this could be Arsenio just sort of making an observation.
Can I say this?
Kind of a,
maybe
a
this is
too,
an Arsenio
right?
problem, but there's certain adages or phrases that people just want to use. Arsenio likes to use certain things. And we were when we were doing a Celebrity Apprentice, I was on with him, and it was like me and him in the boardroom or something, and it was some sort of event where I was trying to produce some commercial and I was this and that, and he's like, me and Adam had a plan, and then he flipped the script, and I was like, that sounds cool and it rhymes, except for it has nothing to do with what our plan was. But I think he wanted to use you know,
line,
like there's like some when people love flip the script, so they'll try to kind of wedge it in. Flip this script means we talked about doing it this way, Arsenio, but we ended up doing it that way at the end,
which
because
threw me under the bus.
I made a move, which it didn't happen, but
he
I
knew
know
that soundbite was going to make the final cut.
Flip the script is written on your wristband, your quarterback wristband, and you just look down, and when he flipped the script, and I remember thinking, what does that even, how does that pertain to this?
You flipped the script, bitch. 2012.
Wow.
All right. The Four Seasons lyrics are close, but not exactly. All right. Arsenio Hall. Wow. And then this guy.
Billy
and then
Eichner,
what? So what do you guys got? I got to get back in this game.
I got Eichner.
I'm throwing my hands up and saying Arsenio. I have no insight into this.
All right.
I'm going Eichner.
You're going Eichner. Yeah. Arsenio. Can't be Ellen, but I got to get back in this game, so I'm going Ellen.
Wow.
The blog belongs to Billy Eichner.
All
thank you.
Right. Damn it.
Yeah.
Gina, where are you at?
I'm at 2, I believe.
Brian's at 2?
Yes, I am.
All right. Let's just have this one be the tiebreaker.
All right. By the way, there's a drop that has been following me for years on various podcasts and radio shows of Arsenio saying, Gina, you talk too fucking much. So if you'd like it, I'm happy to get that for you.
No, please. You just said it.
Yep. By the way, what do you have to do to get into get tickets to that Ellen 15 Days of Giveaways?
Oh, like not, Oprah's favorite things.
I'm asking for a friend, and that friend is me. But like, those have to be tickets like Super Bowl esque, right? Or like World Series Game 7.
She's
like,
giving away. She's not giving away a Pontiac like Oprah was.
I don't
but
think
she's
so.
Giving away a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, like Oprah, the rule was you can't ask for it. So if you specifically ask to be on one of those shows, they will not give you tickets to those shows.
Oh.
So I don't know if that's the same for Ellen.
Yeah, I had a lovely experience last time I did Ellen, which is I can always tell the host because all the lieutenants are scared shitless, scared to death. Like everyone who worked for Letterman was scared to death and everyone who worked for Ellen is scared to death. And they like come in, they go, okay, so you're going to plug your book? And I go, yeah, you're not going to talk about meat, are you? And I go, no. So don't talk about meat at all? No, I wasn't planning. I was going to set up a hibachi. I brought some flank steaks. Like, no. Okay. And then like a third time, like they circled back. Oh, we're going to bring it out in a second. Don't talk about meat.
Well, like, now Jesus. I feel like I kind of
somebody
have to.
Brought up
don't even
meat.
Say nice to meet you, Ellen.
Oh,
don't even
meat.
Do that.
Interesting. Yeah. Somebody brought up.
No meat and greets.
Something and Ellen got pissed.
Wow.
Reasonable.
That's reasonable.
Very Morrissey.
It's a trigger word, huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Very Morrissey. Sorry.
So this is between Brian and
tiebreaker. Go ahead.
Tiebreaker.
Good luck, guys.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Mr. Spacey, but your application to join the gay community at this time has been denied.
Wow.
Wow.
Please let that be Oprah.
I love the idea that this person has anointed themselves the commander-in-chief of all gays.
Community.
Yeah. I
Dawson
love that.
Dawson, who was gay 15 years ago.
That's right.
Is it Dan Savage or Ellen Page?
Oh, okay. I have a vote. Mm.
By the way, Paige Savage, a great lawyer team.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Or some sort of beach cop duo show in the 80s.
Injured at work.
Called Paige and Savage.
Do you have a strong feeling?
I do. Oh,
go ahead.
I think injured at work is now going to have to, in a few years, because no one's going to work.
Yeah. You're,
like, it's going to have to be injured while watching this commercial on your sofa. You too. And then they point it
right at you. Yeah.
Because no one's going to be working anywhere. We're done with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I know that they're both sort of outspoken in the LGBTQ community, but Dan Savage is a op-ed guy. Mm-hmm. He has a podcast. He's very outspoken. Yeah. I could see him saying something like this more than I could see Ellen Page. So I'm going to assume it's Dan Savage.
Yeah, that's a good guess. All right. I'll go Ellen Page.
The blog belongs to Dan Savage.
Oh,
all right.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah,
that's
great.
Really sussed it out.
All right. Let me tell you. Do we have an outro for this?
Until next time, keep your fingers on your keyboards and your heads up your asses so we can play another round of Blah, Blah, Blah.
All right, let me tell you guys about Stamps.com. Now, remind me, when we come back, after I talk about Stamps.com, I want to know what you would do to get Stallone to watch this movie. I have an idea. Okay. Stamps.com, we use it here for all our shipping, and especially coming up around the holidays, man. Everyone's got relatives and nieces and nephews and God knows what else spread out all over this land of ours. You want to send them a CD, a mug, a present, a gift, whatever it is, use stamps.com. You hop on your computer. They'll give you a scale. It goes up to 80 pounds, whatever it is you put on there. If you're sending you got a nephew who's in Indiana and you want to send him a baseball mitt, how many stamps would you put on that? Or you got to go to the post office and stand in line with the weird, you got to look down and do that thing where they go, do they ever replace this tile? All the fake wood grain's worn away and it's just beige where the line of people is. So let's get going here. Come on. It's the US of A. Look, they'll send you a digital scale. It'll automatically calculate the exact postage and then the exact postage will come right out of your printer and it's easy. Just stick it on the box, hand it to the postman. Right now you can enjoy stamps.com. Special 4-week trial. Plus postage and the digital scale without long-term commitments. Go to stamps.com. Click on the microphone, top of the homepage, type in Adam, let them know you heard it here. Get the postage, get the scale, get everything else. Don't let another holiday season get past you without stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. All I can think to do with Stallone, because I now realize this Rotten Tomatoes thing is pretty ubiquitous.
Yeah.
Everyone knows what it is. I said to my son, who's in the sixth grade, I said, do your friends like follow Rotten Tomatoes and they know what the... And he said, oh, yeah, score. For sure. They all know the score. What if I printed out the fact that it was, you know, 82% or 81% with the top critics or whatever, and I made a little stuck it to it, you know, and when the people have it at 89%, like, wouldn't you be much more apt to
effort.
Watch somebody's backyard movie if they put stuck a thing to it and said, here's what it is, and if I want them to watch the Newman doc, I got 100% on the top critics. Like, if someone handed you 100% doc and it said a little Rotten Tomatoes printout on it, would you be more apt?
I'm saying this as a friend. Feels thirsty.
It is thirsty.
Feels thirsty.
I'm handing the printout. I'm parched.
Oh, feels thirsty.
It's like the Sahara.
But he's going to die and he'll never see my boxing movie. No, I'm going to die and he's going on forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not a bad idea though, because he's not going to go look it up himself. So if he has the proof right there, that's a good idea. My first instinct, also thirsty. Appeal to the ego. Even if it's a lie, say, you know what? You inspired this movie.
Inspired
me. Because it has so much to do with you, but it's a comedic take on it, you might really like this.
All right.
All right.
And the score is also like that's such a big deal. And it's perfectly packaged with the movie. And he'll also like it's information that maybe he hadn't thought of. And it's, I think, going to make more sense. Like, Kevin Spacey used to hand out American Beauty DVDs with pictures of himself shirtless. And that, I feel like, backfired. Because it was like, that's nobody wanted
work.
That. That
did not work.
Yeah.
Super thirsty.
All right. So I'm going to work on this. Oh, Gary has an idea.
Scrap the interview. Just play it on stage at the Wealth
Expo. Yeah. Just now another clip for my film.
Well, that's, go wrong. That's the best idea.
He can't go anywhere. He's committed to be on stage for that hour. You can at least get him to see half.
I bet he can walk off stage. But like, all right, let's listen to a little Good Sports. We'll be right back with the news right after this.
Good Sports. It's time for a sports segment. It's time for Ace and Dave. It's time to get it started. NFL highlights. Mixed martial arts fights. Riffing on bad Stallone movies. Raking the fruits of the
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to another week of sports talk and beyond. The game of life shall be tackled over the course of this week, as we always do it. Thanks to Podcast One Sports, presentation of Good Sports. Dave Damashek here. Adam Carolla there. What's the poop, Ace?
Ah, the poop is safely away from the fan.
You know what? Speaking of... Well, I don't want to get into the conversation this way, but because I'm not suggesting this particular candy. I'm just in the way it looks, maybe resembles some poop. But that being said, I love Tootsie Rolls. And there have been a lot of Tootsie Rolls flying around over the last week or so, thanks to Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
I'm intrigued by this, Ace. Where do you come down on...
Let me say this about Tootsie Roll. To me, it's fish nor fowl in the candy department. I'm not exactly sure what it is. It's like, it's not toffee. It's not chocolate. It's fine.
That's exactly what I was getting. It's not. You always think, well, it's chocolate. It's but it's not chocolate flavor, is it?
Well, not only that, in a day of things being triple shrink wrapped, and ironically, the most difficult thing to get out of a package is scissors.
Because
you need scissors to get scissors. The most securely wrapped thing is scissors. But in a world of everything being sort of triple shrink wrapped and whatever, the Tootsie Roll is the most casually wrapped of all food items, nay, almost anything that a consumer buy. You don't buy Tylenol PM and the guy will give you a handful behind the counter or something like that. There's like double, triple security.
Yeah.
For something you ingest, what is more casually wrapped than the Tootsie Roll? It's a little wax paper that I imagine an elderly Asian woman twisted at a factory somewhere.
It's not paper thin. It's much thinner than that. It's tissue. It's about as easy to puncture as a Kleenex.
You don't need to puncture it. If you're looking to taint, and I don't want to give first off, I'm not here to help people taint. And I'm not here to help people give people clues on tainting candy and hurting
you.
Children. But that being said, if you
caveat in advance, I like caveat guy is great.
If you're looking to taint something, you can't go with a peanut butter cup because that's wrapped and sealed. You have to tear that thing open. There is no getting that open and then resealing that. Tootsie Roll, easily removed from its wax foreskin. Easily tainted and easily put back.
You could really do that. Well, that actually is interesting, too, is, you know, this in the 21st century, every candy now they figured out, oh, let's do a bite-sized version. But for our entire lives, Tootsie Rolls have come in crazy shapes and size. Imagine the variation. Think about that. You can get that one that's like a foot long.
The big one.
And then you can get the one that's real skinny, and it's like 3 inches long. They're skinny long. But then you can also get the standard one that's like, you know, about an inch tall with the wrapper on either end of it, which is what you're talking about. So does this mean that the Tootsie Roll has low self-esteem because it's trying to be everything to everyone and therefore incapable of pleasing anyone? Or is it unchecked confidence veering into arrogance?
I have this thing. It's I have theories that we're dumb And it's my mini driver theory, which is she's not particularly attractive, yet we've deemed her attractive, and she hasn't stopped working in 20 years, and it's because her name is Minnie Driver. If her name was Gertrude Schwartz, I don't think she would work.
Yeah.
Minnie Driver. We like that. Look, I sat on an airplane, and I was sitting next to a woman years ago, and she said, I said, what do you do? And she said, she's like a CEO for the Nestle Corporation. And I said, we got a long enough flight. Let's talk goobers versus raisinettes. Mm. I said, I love goobers because I love peanuts and chocolate. Raisins and chocolate are kind of weird, sweet on sweet. They're a little bit gooey, and they're okay, but they're not as good as goobers. How do they sell? She says, raisinettes outsells them 10 to 1.
Huh.
I said, because one is named Goober. Goober is what you call a guy who's not too quick, right?
Yeah.
Or who doesn't get laid in junior high or high school. That guy's a goober. Also, the name of the sort of...
That's what everyone meant when they were called?
Yes. Oh. They were not... They weren't talking about the candy. Goobers, it was the name. And Andy Griffith's show, the kind of slow-witted garage mechanic, was named Goober. So Raisinette is a strong name. That sounds like one of the backup singers in a plum band or I'm trying, what is it? Oh, in a grape band, like or something. The Raisinettes, like King Grape and the Raisinettes.
Yeah,
behind them. Yeah, it's
Grape Cabernet and the Raisinettes.
And the Raisinettes. Yeah. The Raisinettes. So it sounds also Concord Grape and the Raisinettes. So now I think the name makes a difference. And I think Tootsie Roll, also the fact that there was a dance move named after Tootsie Roll, I just believe that Tootsie Roll helps the cause.
Yeah, Tootsies. Yeah. Give me some Tootsies. Right. But then also, I'm fascinated because, and this is something, I bring it up ultimately because, first of all, it occurred to me the other day when I was eating some of the leftover Halloween candy, I realized I've always enjoyed a Tootsie. Also, you know what's a cool little trick to do with Tootsie Rolls? You can see if your teeth are in alignment. I like mm-hmm. foods that you can do that with. Like, that with your teeth, and then you see, like, oh, yeah, my teeth are still straight in the back there. But I also like how they taste, but I realized after a lifetime, these aren't chocolate per se. They're sort of like the Dr. Pepper for the candy world. They're their own flavor.
Yeah.
And then I started thinking, well, this is like Ace talks about with iced tea, and I say about Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper already is a flavor. If you make a cherry vanilla Dr. Pepper, now you've created a different thing, so give it a whole different new name. And then I think Tootsies, they cornered the market on this flavor that isn't exactly chocolate. But then why did they dip their toe into the other assorted fruit flavors? Because they have the cherry, and they have the delicious vanilla one, and the orange, and the lemon, and the lime. I can do without all those, except for the vanilla one. Why don't we have more vanilla candies in this world? And then I realized, wait a second, now I'm validating what Tootsie Roll is doing, and I frown on that, generally speaking. But then I like the vanilla one so much, I can't turn my nose up at it. You see?
Yeah, you know, it's weird, in a weird sort of maturation thing, sort of like back, you know, in the 30s and the 40s, guys drink rye whiskey, and now they drink cotton candy flavored vodka, or all the, you know, Bud Light has all these like Budarias, you know, tastes like a margarita, but it's all these crazy flavored things. I feel the same way. So we used to just take our booze as booze, you know. We had a palate that was had a little stiffer upper lip. I feel the reason coconut has gone the way of the dodo is because we've moved on and we've all become soft. Coconut was an accepted dessert base. Like, it was in candy bars. There was coconut pie and cake and stuff. Coconut was around. Not to mention coconut humor. People getting hit on the head with coconuts. Guys wearing a coconut bra during, like, the talent show. You know what I mean?
That's right,
like, there was a lot of coconut.
Coconut-based comedy. Yeah, that's true. And it is a delight. Because to me, I don't want to get into a whole thing here as we wrap up today's good sports. But I, you know, with Pie Off 6, you know, this is the annual event down at the NFL that I throw. Everybody brings pie, and then the blue ribbon panel of one namely me, evaluates each pie's quality, and then I award a champagne each year. I say coconut cream pie, that might be the number one. I know you go banana cream.
No, well, yeah, but banana cream is amazing, but coconut cream is very strong, too, especially when it gets a little toasty on the top.
Yes.
It's a little glazy on the top.
That's
very
so
nice.
That's right. And you
so
get a,
right.
You know what else is tasty? A coconut cake.
Yeah.
All right, listen, we've covered a lot already here. The week is off to a roaring start here. We've got more hot sports talk coming your way tomorrow on Good Sports. For now, that's it for Adam Carolla, Dave Dameshek, Podcast One Sports. Good Sports.
Mistrial, an inside look at how the criminal justice system works and sometimes doesn't.
If you want a reality check, call the police when your car or laptop gets stolen. If you have watched CSI for several years, you may assume that the police will show up and start by taking photos of the crime scene. After that, they will begin dusting for fingerprints and searching the floor for any possible DNA-related materials. Then they will bring out the ultraviolet light to make sure there is no other evidence present. After they leave, they will scour the neighborhood interviewing witnesses. Then they will take the collected evidence back to the police lab where they will process the information through a series of computer programs until they produce a list of potential suspects. The suspects will be interviewed until the cops determine which one is the culprit, at which point that person will be arrested and charged. In reality, when you call the police about the theft, they will likely tell you to just come down to the station and fill out a report.
Written by Mark Garagus and Pat Harris and narrated by Mike Dawson. Mistrial. Available now at iTunes, Audible, and AdamCarolla.com.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus.
Hey, it's Jay Moore, and it is time, finally, for America's Lakers podcast. That's right, I'm going to be hosting America's Lakers podcast. My man Aaron Larsoul, an analytical genius, he's going to bring to the table what I can't every Wednesday. America's Lakers podcast exclusively at podcastone.com, the podcastone.com app, which I highly recommend. You can rate and review this podcast on all Apple products. And guess what we're not going to do? We're not going to bathe in the gossip and the gratuitous negativity that's been swallowing Los Angeles whole lately. Who did what? Who snitched? Who said what? How about truth? How about facts? How about statistics? How about rotations? What's Luke Walton thinking? Who's underperforming? Who's overachieving? Who's rewarded? Who's coming? Who's going? And what are we going to do with all that delightful, delicious cap space? America's Lakers podcast with me, Jay Moore, and my man, my brother, Aaron Larsoul, every Wednesday, podcastone.com.
Morning, Tom. Morning, Al. How are the kids? Pain in my fucking ass. How's Lisa? Well, she's gluten-free now, but I convinced her to give me Roadhead on the way home from the Gin Blossoms concert last night, so I can't complain.
Well, good luck out there.
What do you mean?
What do I mean? Haven't you been outside?
Except for the Gin Blossoms concert, no.
Well, let me tell ya.
The world is getting crazy. People starting to clash. Makes me want to stay inside and watch some Franklin and Bash.
R.I.P. that show.
Global warming, hurricanes, Uber driver fights. Nuclear wars, Kardashians, and Kevin Spacey Friday nights. Ugh. So go out there and live your life the best way you can do. 'Cause every day in any way, there's probably something that could kill you.
Like a bird to the face when you're getting gas, or HPV, or an NBA player breaking your neck because you stare at a side chick. Hey, take it away, young liberal child.
I'm scared of Trump. Are we okay?
Good question, little boy.
I'm so sorry that your doggy ate your cat. Maybe hold on to that toy. Because Trump is making changes that we just don't understand. No more Mexicans at Sbarro, no more Jews at Disneyland, okay? It's gonna be great.
So find your happy place wherever that may be, through booze or porn or candy corn or podcast comedy. Aliens are coming to violate you and me. Thank God for booze and porn and podcast comedy. I'll never be as famous as Carson Daly. Thank God for booze and porn and podcast comedy. Cut in line at the store by a Nazi. Thank God for booze and porn and podcast comedy.
Thank God for booze and porn and boobs and weed and my mom's matzo ball soup and friendships from the past that still hold up and Kevin Klein, the actor, and Thai massages and dumbass Facebook updates that you like even though you hate the person deep down inside and karaoke and people who try too hard at karaoke and headphones for the airplane and great hugs and Adam Carolla, he's the man. And podcast comedy.
The great Adam Ray, everybody.
Wow.
So good.
I'm going to tell people to go to adamraycomedy.com and find out all his live dates. And then I'm looking forward to catching him on Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Next week.
That is going to be exciting for me. Such a talent and a nicer guy.
Just trying to, you know, comment on, you know, just trying to contribute.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot going on.
He did a version of that for Marc Maron, too, so don't be so excited.
Fuck that. No, I did not. Just here, baby, and only here.
All right. Should we do a little news, Gina Grad?
Let's do it.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, what is going to happen to Bo Bergdahl? That has been in the news for a while, and now we have an answer.
I don't know if it's an old shot, but it was like on the news when I was somewhere on the TV somewhere, and he's rocking the Cat Stevens, Yusuf Ramsey beard. Probably not the best look.
Not good timing.
If you're looking to keep your prison visit as short as possible. He had a crazy, it's like the buzz cut hair and the blind imam beard.
Yeah. It's a look.
He's like a teased beard. I don't know the fine teased beard. I can't tell if that was an old picture or he has it now. Gary can possibly look it up. But anyway.
God, it wouldn't make sense if he had it now. But
yes.
Bo Bergdahl has avoided prison for deserting his army post in Afghanistan. An army judge has ruled that because he suffered enough in Taliban hands and because of the trove of intelligence he offered once he returned to the U.S., he shouldn't be punished further. However, he's been reduced to the rank of private and dishonorably discharged. Bergdahl was at the center of a controversial exchange in 2014 when Obama agreed to release five Taliban captives.
Interesting, they suffered enough at Taliban hands, which is fine. But if I was Bill Cosby's lawyer, I would say, hey, his only son was executed by the side of the freeway when he was like 34 years old. He suffered enough.
Yeah.
I'd like to cite precedent. Bergdahl, five minutes ago.
Right. Like I mean, it's a kind of an interesting suffered enough argument.
Well, it's not A to B. I mean, those two things, you know, they splinter when it comes to...
I think the intelligence he provided was probably a big thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and remember, as Adam said, he walked off post in 2009 and, you know, got his platoon in a lot of trouble, got them, you know, put them in dangerous situations. But after 5 years...
No, he got people killed.
Yeah. Correct. Yes.
Right. But that's not putting people in dangerous situations. That's getting them smoked.
You're absolutely right. So that's the whole spectrum of he did something, the one thing you can't do, and got his brothers killed, and also every day was tortured by the Taliban. So the judge decided that 5 years doing
fine.
That.
He's an idiot.
There you go.
I think his dad's an idiot, too. Oh, no longer has the beard. Well, too bad. But I got to see the beard version of him. The teased where the light passes through the beard. It's a weird look.
That's not good.
Yeah.
That's real. I
that should be your go-to.
A drifter look.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Corey,
not buying weed from that guy.
Don't buy anything from that guy. Corey Feldman appeared on Dr. Oz on Thursday and, as promised, named one of his alleged abusers.
How's it work with Bo Bergdahl's dad? You know what I mean? How's Bo doing? Still doing gay porn. Why? What? He wasn't. Different. Not that dude.
I heard a news story.
Yeah, spelled differently. Actually, no, Bo's doing gay porn. Okay. He's doing gay porn. Very proud of him. Nothing like this. Nothing.
I remember when he went to the military. We had that going away party for him. I mean.
Yeah, he's got that. Now, I need him on the steps of the White House with that with that look. That's the one I was looking at.
Rough look.
All right.
So Corey Feldman, he did name one of his alleged abusers on Dr. Oz.
He did.
46-year-old actor whom for years has spoken out about being a victim of sexual abuse, says he's on a mission to out Hollywood's pedophilia ring. Mm-hmm. On the show, he identified one of his abusers as John Grissom, his former assistant who also had small acting roles in some of Feldman's films. Feldman claims Grissom drugged him and touched him inappropriately. The LAPD says it is aware of the incident and is looking into it. Feldman is currently trying to raise $10 million to make a documentary about his life and pedophilia in Hollywood. Earlier this week, he accused a former manager, Marty Weiss, of abusing him as well, according to E! News.
Oh, we're looking at Bo's dad with the Taliban beard.
Wait, that's his dad?
His dad. It's weird. Crazy. Yeah. All right. Yeah, Corey's...
For Corey.
Oh, listen.
David Spade's like, your assistant touched you. Wow, interesting.
Yikes.
Wow, sounds rough.
Cold cocked me in
sounds
the face.
Rough.
Wow.
I feel bad for Corey, and for us, too. It's a two-way street.
How's that?
My life hasn't been made any better by Corey Feldman, and his life hasn't been made any better by society. You know, I just feel like, hey, I can make a pretty good argument for why my life is... The quality of it's not, not less by 50%, but somewhere in the mid-30s.
Yeah.
That's fair. He's just around every once in a while. He pops up with his band at a minor league ballpark.
With the Angels.
Yeah. Singing.
And you go, shit, Corey Feldman.
Yeah, right. I've been forced to think about Corey Feldman a lot.
Yeah.
A lot in my life.
A lot of years,
Some would say too much.
Some would say too much. And I would probably, I'd like to carve out a little more time for my kids or a Paul Newman race car, but instead, that slot is filled. Corey Feldman.
Yeah.
So we're all struggling.
Yeah. And he's not going to go away now because this is the hot topic.
You think he'll raise that money? And who's going to... I mean, I won't...
That's a good question.
$10 million?
$10 million to make this documentary.
But is he doing a Kickstarter or what's he doing?
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
But he's been screaming about this for years and everybody laughed at him.
Yeah.
Well...
We all laughed at Corey Feldman.
The problem is the way he presented himself for so long made everyone kind of go... It was actually sort of the... In a weird way, the... antithesis of Michael Jackson. Like, Michael Jackson did so many weird things that we passed him off as just, he's got kids sleeping in his secret room with the Jesus Jews. Like, he's a weirdo, you know? So we just kind of brushed it off because it came in such a weird package. I know I mentioned this name before, but if the famous Joey Buttafuoco was like having a lot of kids sleep over at his house in Long Island and stuff like that, we'd immediately be outraged whatever.
Where's your Grammy to make this okay?
Right.
You know? Right. So he, Corey Feldman, in a weird way, did what Michael Jackson did, which is I'm presenting myself in this such a weird fashion that everything that comes out of my mouth, we just kind of go, okay, all righty, there you go.
Well, he's the one guy, too, that said something. Michael just did not.
Wait, isn't that Sonny on Halloween, right?
Joey Buttafuoco, we're looking at. Yeah.
And you have made a very interesting connection just now, because on an old interview from The View, Barbara Walters, who's clutching her pearls the entire time talking to Corey Feldman, Corey makes it very clear that the only man in Hollywood who didn't abuse him
was Michael
Jackson.
Yeah, and he's very adamant about how he just didn't do that to any kids either. Yeah. Like, and I feel like that's not helping his case.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Well, Samuel Adams has released a special beer aged in bourbon casks. 13,000 bottles of this beer, which they're calling Utopias, will be produced at $200 a bottle.
Oh, I got one of those.
Did
ones.
You?
Yeah.
Well, listen to this. I don't know if you're allowed to have it because it has 28% alcohol content, which makes it illegal in 12 states. Now, let's see if our state is one of them.
Yeah, I'm going to turn myself in after the show.
Please do.
So hey, Burbank Popo.
Drink and drive. Myself to the police station.
Popo.
Yeah.
Alabama, Arkansas, Georgia, Idaho, Mississippi, Montana, New Hampshire, North Carolina, South Carolina, Tennessee, Vermont, and Washington. No Utopias.
The beer and the booze rules, as someone who sells a little Endless Rant and some Mangria, I can tell you are insane, and they are all over the road, and they're just all over the place. And it's sort of, I feel like, age of consent. You know, let's call it 18 and move on. Like, let's not have Hawaii have a totally different age of consent than Arkansas, than California. Like, just let's agree with this. Let's just do this with the booze. Booze is insane. If you want to... You want to sell your booze, if we do a show in Arizona, it has to sit in a storage facility for 3 days before then it can go to the club and be sold. But that's just Arizona.
Okay.
That's just. And then there are other places that don't sell it at all, so you have to go to the border and go buy it of the next state. And then there's other ones. Again, all right, I'm in Nashville in Tennessee 3 weeks ago. We have an early flight. I'm flying Delta. I got the Delta whatever lounge card.
Right.
I stumble into the thing to go get a Bloody Mary, and it's like, sorry, we don't do anything till noon. Now, again, that's because I'm here. If you're in California, then you get a Bloody Mary. But the part that's insane, we have a million of these laws, and I don't get why. Again, it's not our alien overlords who'll blow us up if we deviate from any of these laws. We get to make these laws up. I can sit in an airport in a Delta lounge, look out the window at the airplane. If I walk onto the airplane, I can order a Bloody Mary and they'll hand me one.
Yeah.
It's 28 feet away from where we're at, and it's
still
on the
tarmac.
It's on the ground. Yeah. We're both just in Tennessee. Yeah, no, we can't do it here until noon. Why do we have these rules, and they're more around booze than you could ever imagine? And why not just go,
just
look,
change
it's 21 and booze is booze. You say what percent alcohol is on it. Don't, you know, because here's the thing. Here's the other thing, too. Went into Zeke's, a steakhouse. I'll give you a good example. Barbecue.
Barbecue
sorry.
Place, yeah.
Perfect example. You sit here and let's see. What am I trying to think? Vinny says, hey man, have a highball, have a scotch, but don't have a beer or wine calorically or whatever it is. Okay, fine. So I go into Zeke's. But they don't have a license for the hard stuff.
Yeah,
they just have beer and wine. Right. And now you're going out on a Friday night to eat some meat and you're going to have a Sprite. You know what I mean? So like, okay, so now you get a wine because you don't want the beer, but it's like, I'd like to just get a scotch and soda or whatever, but if you can sell beer and wine, why can't you sell hard stuff? And
then
how come the place, I can go to the Mexican place across the street and I can get as much scotch as I want
tequila,
over there?
Whatever,
like what? Can we just do this?
And you want to, like, the sad irony, but the Tennessee thing, that's the home of Jack Daniels.
Yes.
Yeah, they should be proud.
I'm sure they should be 24 the first
hours
one
a day.
It does seem like a comical leftover vestige from Prohibition.
Everything is like, look, when the Shakers, who originally settled this land wearing suits made out of pine, they're not doing that anymore. Yeah. We have things. We have smartphones.
We have zippers.
But the Quaker Shaker community from the 1700s, what they did, I don't care. The average life expectancy was 21 and they had slaves. Okay, but we're moving on. They traveled on oxen.
Yeah.
Not ox. Tony?
It's a great costume, I'm telling you. I might have two oxen.
Quaker Shaker. Okay, they had rules.
Yeah.
Okay, that was then. That back then, you're allowed to own, have a couple of wives and a couple of slaves. And there are other things they did. We moved on.
And it's not just
booze.
Can
we move on?
It's not just booze. Like, you go to Utah and you go to the Southwest Airlines Sky Lounge. Like, you can get meth there, but you go to Florida, they're just giving you bath salts. And you're like,
what's up?
And they're like, oh, the strip club. Well, if you want to, okay, here's how we can do it. We can go topless and you have a full bar. But if you go bottomless, that's just beer and wine or whatever, or orange juice. Or it's like, what the?
And then they're like, they're connected to a bar. And like, you can go to the bar next door, but you can't bring the booze back.
Are juice bars still a thing, by the way? That's still a thing? Okay.
What year is it? Can we just go, okay, here we go. Yep.
Well, Brian points out Jack Daniels comes out of a dry county.
Wow.
What? That's weird.
It's weird. Also, pot, booze, whatever.
Here's another crazy booze rule. I went to Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights, and now they have, and I worked it one summer when I was working at Universal playing Wolverine, right? And I worked it one summer doing like a Scarface zombie, and you could drink, this was maybe 8-9 years ago, you could drink all over the park as much as you want. And like, you know, people were getting fucked up, and one, employee got like, attacked, and then one person got really drunk and like scared and like shit themselves or something. So two instances happened where Universal was like, that's enough.
Right.
Now, I went there this year, two drinks is all you get, and then you have like this weird stamp, and there's only two spots you can get it. And they like scan, they did some weird thing, they like scan my face, and like, what, and then me and my friend were having a beer, and then, so only one of us could buy it because he had reached his two drink limit, and then he took a sip of my beer, and a security guard came over and goes, you guys sharing beer? And I was like, oh, Jesus Christ, dude, we're at a theme park, man. Like, it's supposed to be fun.
That's when Dawson knew Adam was gay. He was there as well. So there's two guys.
Well, Dawson and I were sharing the beer, yeah.
Yeah.
I see you see me.
Yeah, one stein, two straws. Watch that video. Yeah. One stein, two straws.
I dare you to try and get through it.
You're
going to
pass over a favor. You won't beat off for a week. You'll be fucked up, seriously, if you don't watch one stein, two straws.
Watch the director of Two Girls, One Cup.
Watch the reaction videos. They're hilarious.
To two straws. All right, one more.
All right, why don't we do a round of Germany or Florida?
All right, let's do this, man.
Here it is. Which godforsaken land is this fucked up story from? Let's play Germany or Florida.
So a movie theater had to be evacuated after a man accidentally opened a can of pepper spray. Emergency responders say the 29-year-old was using the can of pepper spray as a tool to open his bottle of beer. The bottle cap apparently punctured the can and expelled the contents. Fortunately, no serious injuries were reported, but the theater had to be evacuated and closed. The fire department later issued a warning on its Facebook page saying, quote, please do not open beer bottles with pepper spray cartridges, and also don't use handguns, grenades, bayonets or brass knuckles.
Definitely not a Jew.
Hey, in my quest to get everyone on the same goddamn page with all the booze,
yeah,
the twist top versus the pop top. Mm-hmm. So it used to be pretty straightforward on the bottle, which is if it was American, it was a twist top.
Right. It was a macro brew.
If it was American back in the day.
Okay.
Not the micro or not the
Coors.
Saying is if it's Coors Bud, it's one of those.
Oh, yeah. Oh, sorry.
I said macro.
Oh, they're called macro. Macro bro. I only heard micro. I mean, I've only heard of micro. Okay. Big three. You twist it off. Twist
it macaroni and cheese?
You twist it off. But if it was a Heineken or something, you'd need an opener. I didn't like it, but that's the way it was. Now, we got a lot of Americans. So Lynette walks out of the house, and she's holding a stone. Like a stone IPA.
Can we back up where Lynette's walking out of the house with a beer?
Yeah. I was driving. Who cares? I don't care. I'll drive. She'll drink her beer.
New York, here I come.
I have to go over the hill.
Live your life.
And she like hands me the beer, and she goes, could you pop this for me? And I'm like, I don't think I can pop that. And she's like, well, I'm not. Meaning it's American, but it isn't a twist top. Off. She should have known. But on the other hand, if it's 50-50 in terms of what needs it and what doesn't need it. Couldn't we just decide on that one, too?
Yeah, that should be universal.
I would like to. Well, if the twist works, let's go twist. If the twist doesn't work, then let's forget it. And we'll all have, you know, we'll all have the little opener sitting in our wallets or keychains or whatever.
Yeah.
Doesn't the opener seem so old school?
Well, I like it. Gary's got to look it up because I'll bet you some purist will tell you, no, the twist top, not
the
for
way
us.
The bubbles
it
are released.
Hold in the car.
Right. But it seems to be fine for all the times you use it for all the Miller Lights you've had in a bottle, yeah. Right?
And all, like the big revolution now is canning. I mean, bottles are like old. Like you want to can now because it keeps the lights out, keeps right. the beer fresher, you can stack it better.
You know how you love commercials so much?
Yeah.
I'm wondering if this bugged you. You remember though that Budweiser 33 Prohibition era?
Yeah, I've seen the commercial.
Yep. Seen the commercial? They use a pop top. They use a bottle opener to open the bottle. And it's got the grooves of a twist.
Oh man, no. Dawson. That's tough.
So this story.
Germany or Florida?
Germany or Florida?
All right. I'm going Germany because I feel like me saying two straws and a stein was a weird, eerie premonition of Germany that came before I knew we were doing Germany or Florida.
Interesting.
So I'm going to go Germany.
How could this not be Florida?
Mm, Adam.
Florida for sure.
It sounds an awful lot like Florida, but it was in Berlin, Germany.
Yeah. Oh, shit. An eerie premonition with my stein talk.
Wow.
All right, let's bring it home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news. Gina, you talk too fucking much.
Gina!
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Fry-off tops are slightly less expensive, which is a component of it, but many craft breweries use them because they believe it provides a better seal against oxygen.
They believe.
They're always in favor of something that costs a little less.
Yes,
always.
Interesting.
Always.
All right, here's something that costs a little less. True Car Man, you want to buy new, you want to buy used. You got 700,000 pre-owned vehicles from over 13,000 True Car certified dealers nationwide. So if you're looking for a different car, and it is new or it is used, it is True Car. Our own Chris Max Paddock used True Car, locked in his price, went and picked up his Prius with only 200 miles on it. Couldn't be happier. See what other people's paid for the car you want to get. You get a fair price. You connect with your local certified dealer. You enjoy a quick, easy buying experience. Why would you do it any other way? Just go online, see the car, apples to apples, not the bait and switch car, but see the car you're going to get your price, find out what everyone else paid real time in the neighborhood you're living in. Lock in your price, get your certificate, and go pick up your car. When you're ready to buy new or used, you go to True Car. Some features not available in all states. Dawson, I like that Dawson studies commercials as close as I do. That's everyone great. Else is fast-forwarding through them. Yeah, it's the new, it's the Prohibition Reserve. It's the Amber Lager, and it's got the twist off, but they pop it.
Look at that sweat on the beer, too. It's sexy.
Yeah. Let's get angry.
An Amber Lager. Oof.
Oh, my God.
Oh,
clear as day.
Dawson.
Dawson, you should have been the voice of this.
Yeah. All right. That
and Ladies Foot Locker.
Corolla Drinks. If you'd like to check out a little our beer in cans, no controversy. Yeah. Total Wine locations out here in SoCal. Go to Corolla Drinks. Say hi to Lynette. Also, this Sunday, November 3rd, Oxnard Levity Live, us and Doug Benson doing a live podcast. Wow. And then November 21st, Pasadena Ice House as well. Just go to amcroll.com for anything you need. Adam Ray, he's got live shows coming up all over the place. Coming up in Phoenix, coming up to Tempe Improv. Curb Your Enthusiasm coming up. Well, check that out. Also, you go to AdamRayComedy.com. You find out where he's doing stand-up and anything about Adam Ray.
My podcast about last night with my dwarf counterpart, Brad Williams.
Love you, too.
Love
until
you guys.
Next time. Adam Kroll for Adam Ray, Gina Grad, Ball Bryan, and Mark Garrigus. Say mahalo.
Put your fingers in me.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And subscribe to Take an E for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Just click the link at adamcarolla.com. Live podcast coming up tomorrow night. Oxnard, Doug Benson, and the Ice House in Pasadena, November 21st. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, man, great events, books, movies, and more. Go to adamcarolla.com.